Producer of The Mike Malloy Show, wishing all of you a very happy holiday season and a peaceful new year.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A powerful earthquake struck the ancient Silk Road city of Bam in southeastern Iran on Friday, killing at least 4,000 people and injuring some 30,000 others, state television said. The television said the number was only an initial statistic and indicated the death toll was expected to rise further. Iranian TV said about 70% of the buildings in the historic city, a popular tourist destination 6 miles southeast of the capital, Tehran, had collapsed in the earthquake, which measured 6.3 on the Richter scale. Reuters witnesses said many houses had been flattened and squares were packed with crying children and people left without a home, huddled in blankets to protect them from the cold. Guerrillas extended the biggest insurgent attacks in Iraq since Saddam Hussein's capture, killing 4 soldiers in mortar and bomb attacks, the U.S. military said on Friday. A roadside bomb killed 1 soldier and wounded another when it exploded by a convoy near Baqaba, about 40 miles north of Baghdad, early on Friday. A 2nd soldier was killed the same day trying to defuse a bomb outside the town, a military spokesman said. 2 other U.S. soldiers were killed in a mortar attack on a U.S. camp near Baqaba on Thursday. Government food safety officials are working through the holidays to prevent a potential outbreak of mad cow disease while assuring Americans that their beef supply has not been tainted by the 1 confirmed case. Confirmation that a Holstein cow in Washington State had the deadly disease came Thursday from the Veterinary Laboratories Agency in Weybridge, England. British researchers agreed with the reading of U.S. tests on the stricken cow. Those tests led U.S. officials to preliminarily conclude that the animal had the brain-wasting disease. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
A reporter for the NBC television station KTUU in Anchorage, Alaska, found her way into the national spotlight while taping a scene with a young reindeer named Blitzen at the Santa Claus house in North Pole. Just as the Santa hat-clad Megan Stapleton knelt down with the reindeer's leash in hand, a spooked Blitzen leaped at the reporter, knocking her down in a manner one witness described as a tackle. Stapleton was not injured and even managed to hold on to the leash to keep Blitzen from running away, though he did drag her a couple of feet. I thought the last thing I wanted to do was let Blitzen get away, especially 2 days before Christmas, Stapleton said. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this 6-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears home improvement centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I didn't think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing low, life's lies.
Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
With special guest host Tony Trupiano.
That's me, pick me, Tony Trupiano with you. Happy holidays to one and all. A pleasure to be with you as always on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm here today, Monday and Tuesday evening. We've got some great stuff lined up for you. I'll tell you a little bit about that later on. Hope you're all well. I've missed you very much since the last time I sat in for Mike and excited to be here. As always, throughout the course of tonight's program, of course, you're always welcome to join us, and I'll tell you how to do that in just a second. But today we're going to talk about really, in a big way, the American family and how the 2004 election is going to deal with that. But we're going to take a very unique perspective on that. We're going to talk about the role of the union in today's American family and how important that was, is, and should be. And it will also answer the question, what are unions doing to strengthen their own numbers to provide a better quality of life for all of us? Sometimes we look to government for those answers, and maybe we need to look for the unions for those answers. We'll get to those issues and more. I've got a special guest in studio with me. Before I do that, though, if you want to join us, as always, 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-825-5937. Emails always welcome. Tony@thetonyshow.com. Tony@thetonyshow.com. Let me introduce now our guest for tonight's program. Mr. Kevin Moore joins us. Kevin, recently elected president of the Teamsters Local 299 right here in the Detroit area. He happens to be a very good friend of mine as well, very passionate about issues that affect families and the importance of union in our lives. And Kevin, a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Tony. And
we've been threatening to do this for a long time now, so I'm glad that we've actually had finally got the chance to do this. First of all, congratulations on the election.
Thank you very much.
If I was to ask you, you know, when we talk about unions, there are a lot of different unions. You, of course, president of a local, the Teamsters local, one of the Teamster locals here in Detroit. There's, of course, the International Teamsters Union. Your friend, James Hoffa Jr., the president of the International. Let's talk a little bit about your journey to where you're at today. Now, I would imagine that you're a union guy born and raised?
Yes, third generation Teamsters member. My grandfather had the pleasure to work alongside of James R. Hoffa, and my father was a 38-year Teamster member, and I have the honor and the pleasure to be a part of James P. Hoffa, the general president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters Union.
I got to ask, is Dad still alive?
Yes, he is.
He's got to be awfully proud of you.
He's very proud, and it brings a lot of joy in his heart to know that I followed my grandfather's tradition, and the only legacy that I ever known and would follow would be the Teamsters Union.
All right. Well, you know, obviously you don't just one day say, hey, I want to be president of the Teamsters. There's a process that happens there. How did you begin in union life? I mean, you must have had a job like everybody else, start off with a job.
Well, I guess it first started off at my breakfast table growing up as a little boy. I would see and hear my grandfather and my father. All they talked about, lived and breathed, was the Teamsters Union. They would come home from work together on Saturday and Sunday at our breakfast table. All that was talked about is the Teamsters movement and what it did for my grandfather's life and my father's life, and now my life. We've known nothing but quality wages, pension, health care through three generations. And the labor movement, in my opinion, is the only way that you can get that kind of quality life and guarantees and health care and pension. And the labor movement has filled that plate for three generations.
All right, so you started off working in what union shop? Driving
a truck? I started driving semi like my father and my grandfather did at a company called Alvan Motor Freight, a mid-regional carrier in Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. I spent 20 years there, and I started off as a driver, worked my way in through the ranks as a committee man, / union steward, and kept actively involved. And I had to stay actively involved because that was part of my family mantra. Once you did something, you got involved wholeheartedly. And from day one, I was an activist involved with the labor movement.
All right. Now, obviously, from that point, you're very involved. At a time when perhaps people would say unions were more important to the fabric of what society is, it helped define what society is today. We're going to talk a little bit later, Kevin Moore, about some of the myths of unions, that they no longer represent the working people, that they're just barely holding on to what's already there, that there really is no better quality of life coming, that there's nothing down the pike. And I know you're going to disagree with that, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. At some point, though, you decide that there are issues that are not just important to your family, that are important to your coworkers, to your brothers, to your sisters in the union, and you become much more involved as a union rep, and you go to work for the International. Right. So how did that come to be?
Well, I was active all along in my career, and James P. Hoffa was putting forth a campaign to run for the general president of the International Teamsters Union. And as an activist in the local Detroit area and a 299 member, which his father was a president of, and which it started in Detroit, Michigan, we reached out to a core group of our men and women, and we were proactively involved with his campaign from 1995 on. And that's how I had the pleasure to be appointed international rep to the general president, is through being active, involved, and pushing the James P. Hoffa to general presidency.
All right. Now, I happen to know, because you and I know each other, but I happen to know you've been involved in some amazingly sensational cases nationally. One of the things, I don't know if we'd call you an ombudsman, a troubleshooter, a negotiator, a mediator, maybe all of the above, but basically what you've done for the last few years is fly around the country and settle disputes between management and individuals.
Yeah, not only labor disputes, but organizing drives. I was on a team to travel the country for the overnight strike and try to organize overnight transportation. We would handle organizing disputes between union and in companies. Recently, I've been involved with the National Airline Division, overseeing a grievance panel nationally for Continental Airlines. I've had a wide range of responsibilities through the general president, which is a very rewarding and joyful experience.
All right. Now, I've got to ask what would seem to be an obvious question. Obviously, as an international representative, traveling the country, meeting with people, settling disputes, really making a difference nationally, why would you want to be president of a local union?
That's where my family heritage started from. It was a local union that is near and dear to my heart that has been falling in membership. There needs to be, in my opinion, more proactively involved membership. and it's near and dear to myself, not only to myself, but to General President. And in the state of Michigan, I think this local union is a proud local union that needs to be uplifted again, and it's something that I wanted to come home and put my heart and soul into it.
Tell me what, and just what, who 299 represents.
299 is truck drivers, airport, car haul drivers. It's a pretty well diverse local union. It has a multi-sector. It's just not truck drivers. It's a multifaceted local union. It represents industrial people. At one time, it was the largest local union in the central region with 18,000 members. Today, it's sitting down about 4,500 members, which is one of the reasons why I come back home to grab it by the reins and hopefully get out in the community and organize.
Well, I also know that you're not going to just sit at home and try to build membership, which is one of the things you're going to do. You don't plan on walking away from your national responsibilities entirely.
Oh, absolutely not. I'll still keep my international rep position and proactively do what the General President of the International Teams Union asked of me.
All right. Now, there's more to this story, though, than meets the eye. It's one thing to want to be the president of your local union, even to be a shop steward, for that matter. I mean, all of these are elected positions. This is not this. Although you won this last election, it wasn't your first fight.
No, I ran 3 years ago with a team that lost by 91 votes, and we knew in our heart and that we had to come back and give it another whirl. And this time we ran an election, October 27th. We won the election with an overwhelming majority of the vote, 52% of the vote turnout, and a 2-1 margin. So it was a decisive victory.
That is a decisive victory. So they're sending a message. Your membership sending a message. You got 4,500 people in the union. Over 2,000 of them vote, which is unheard of, by the way. People don't understand that a 52% vote rate is unheard of in a local union election. So there was obviously a reason for that. Obviously, Kevin Moore, you were out there. You were reaching out to people. You were, you know, hey, you need to get out and vote. Okay, that's part of it. But there was more to it than that. They obviously were unhappy with what the other leadership's doing. And I'm not looking to pick on anybody.
Sure.
But I happen to know a little bit about your story. And, you know, there is a reason for union. I think the other leadership, the guys that are pretty much done as of next Wednesday, I think they lost focus of what union really means, and that's about protecting jobs and taking care of families and understanding the basic tenets, the very foundation of what union means. Am I misspeaking that?
No, you're speaking right on cue.
And they enjoyed the perks. I mean, I know they were spending money on things like trailers with the Teamster logo on it, but that doesn't really get you new members, does it?
That's talking the talk. It's not walking the walk. And I think that they lost touch with the membership. They didn't go into the streets and actually meet and greet people. They didn't represent them on a daily basis. They just lost touch with the members. It's just like losing touch with your family member. You can't lose touch with people. You have to stay actively involved, pushing their needs forward in their best interest.
All right. Now, here, you know, this is because it's important. I think that we now look at an economy. Let's talk about some realities. We've lost over 2.5 million jobs since this Bush administration has come into office. Although the economy is supposedly rebounding, that doesn't take care of those people that have lost their. And I'm talking about good jobs, Kevin. You know, good wage earning.
We're not talking
jobs.
About McDonald's.
No, we're not talking. And not that there's anything wrong. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with our Starbucks because I stopped for my coffee
there
on the way
go.
Here. That's fine. These are all important jobs, but good wage, good earning jobs are disappearing in this country. So it begs the question, is the reason that union membership is down is because we just don't have enough jobs, enough good union jobs?
Well, I think it's not that we don't have enough good union jobs. It's corporations are taking them outside the country borders and taking our jobs elsewhere for the simple fact that it's lower wages they're looking for. The American economy is starving. They're taking our jobs to Mexico, and now they're bailing out of Mexico and taking them to China.
Now, as a union guy, that's got to piss you off.
It really pisses me off.
Okay, so then again, one of the obvious questions is, can the unions stop this from happening?
Yes, they can.
All right, now I'm going to give you my opinion on this. We've got to take a break here in just a second. My opinion on this is that if unions had more members and that strength, just the numbers, then they could demand more of corporations. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Kevin Moore is with us. I'm in Tony Trupiano in for Mike Malloy on this Friday evening. 1-800-825-5937 or Tony at thetonyshow.com. We'll take the break and be right back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com, a better world.
The Michael Sweat Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops.
Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man.
He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was it, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, as my understanding, that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Absolutely. Ring us up. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Mike will be back late next week. In the meantime, I am Tony Trupiano. I am in for Mike. Kevin Moore with us. Kevin, recently elected president of the Teamsters Local 299 here in the Detroit area. Pleasure to be with you. Happy holidays to everybody, by the way. Hope everybody's having a nice Kwanzaa. Today's Kwanzaa Day, right? And Boxing Day in Canada, whatever that means. I don't quite understand that Canadian thing, but here we are. Talking unions and the basic fabric of American society and what that means. You know, before the break, we were talking about needing to grow, unions needing to grow to have a bigger voice, that more jobs were leaving this country. And Kevin, I don't know that it sounds easy. Okay, let's just organize more people, put them in unions, and stop this from happening. Is it really that easy?
No, it's not that easy, but it must be done. It must be done for the fabric of middle-class America. If you see the wages and benefit packages and health care that the union collective bargaining agreements give middle-class America, that is what is the secondary factor for non-union middle-class America is their wages and their standards have to be somewhat parallel to what the collective bargaining agreement is with the union, just so they can keep the middle-class fiber running in this country.
You know, one of the things that we've discussed, certainly privately, Kevin, and you and Mark Connison's in studio with us, by the way. Shar, if you can make Mark hot. We had breakfast the other morning. Mark, welcome to the show, by
Thanks,
the way.
Tony.
Mark, of course, host of Animal Talk here on the IE America Radio Network. And we were talking about just the basic, you know, middle-class American family, whatever that means. I don't even know how to define that anymore, though. I mean, what is a middle-class American family today? Mark, do you have a definition of that? Because I really wouldn't know how to define that.
The way I would define a middle-class American family is a family that can afford to have a decent, safe place to live, enough health care to know that their family's medical needs are going to be taken care of, good nutrition, a decent place for their kids to go to school. And that sounds very easy. It should be something that everybody should have. But the reality is, with the fact that you are beginning to see the redistribution of wealth going upwards and downwards, in other words, a whole lot less going down and a whole lot more going up, that you're seeing the middle class no longer exist. The middle class came into existence because during the Industrial Revolution, the injustices towards the workers were so great, it spawned a movement called unions, collective bargaining. And these unions created the middle class because they gave people who worked and who produced, and by the labors that they were involved in, they benefited from them because of the unions. And you're right. The fact that there is living wages in non-union plants with non-union workers are because the unions do still exist. And it's an insidious little thing that's beginning to happen. Let's pull one more union little stick out. One more. It's like the Jenga of the union tower. We'll keep pulling one out. It's going to fall. And when those unions fall, all you people who are non-union shops, who have non-union jobs, but yet have a union wage, there is no longer anything to prop that up. You're going to lose it, folks.
Well, now, back to Kevin Moore a second. You know, we talk about, you know, companies having to survive. I mean, let's look at some of the reality. The economy hasn't been that great the last few years. There are less and less, less and less disposable dollars, although the kind of jobs that unions are providing really isn't about disposable dollars. I mean, it's about the delivery of goods and services that are essential to our society. So these jobs are necessary anyway. One of my concerns has always been, and I've seen this happen, and I know that you can talk to this much more articulately than I can, is when you do more with less people, it's much easier for a company to stay in that position. Yeah, but we were providing basic service with less people. I don't care that the economy's better or we're profitable. We're doing fine with 20. We don't need 25 guys. How does a union go in and say, you may not need it, but guess what? You're going to provide those five more jobs. I'm going to let you think about that during the break, and we will come back. We are going to talk about the presidential election, and the Teamsters have endorsed a candidate that this audience may or may not agree with. And we'll get to all that and more. Again, Tony Trupiano in for Mike Malloy, Kevin Moore with you, Mark Connis as well in studio, 1-800-825-5937, Tony at thetonyshow.com. We'll be right back.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Patriot Seekers, Mike Malloy here. I hope you have a happy and peaceful holiday season.
The environment isn't all bad news. A new book finds plenty to cheer about. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. If you're looking for an environmental hero, consider the Collins Pine Company. David Suzuki profiles the timber operation in his new book, Good News for a Change, How Everyday People Are Helping the Planet.
Here is a family-owned company that has been in operation now for 150 years. They do $250 million worth of business a year. So this is not a small logging company. This is a major corporation. And if you go through their forests, you don't see clear cuts anywhere. And their forests, which have been logged for 150 years, are considered among the best examples of what an old growth forest should be. So you walk through their forest, you have no idea that there's a logging operation going on.
Collins Pine has 7,500 employees and operates in Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Northern California. Suzuki says the company is a good citizen any way you look at it.
They feel that they've got to return benefits of their operation to the community. So they take a considerable amount of their revenue to set up scholarships, to support community events and activities.
Suzuki and co-author Holly Dressel found other companies doing good things, including some that might surprise you. There's William Clayton Ford, head of the Ford Motor Company, who says the auto industry must cut the environmental impact of its products. Ford has promised to convert the company's SUVs to energy-efficient hybrid engines. Suzuki says even Nike, long considered a bad actor for its use of sweatshop labor, has responded to criticism. Suzuki says it's not all bad news out there, and he wants to credit those companies that are trying to do better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Absolutely. Tony Trupiano with you for Mike Malloy. Love to hear from you. 1-800-825-5937. The email, once again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Pleasure to be with you. Kevin Moore in studio with us. Kevin, president of, can I call you president yet? I mean, you know,
sure,
technically
you can.
Got a couple days there. I know you took over the office last week. So.
Yes, I did.
President of Teamsters Local 299, Mark Connors, host of Animal Talk Radio right here on the IE America Radio Network that does more than talk about just cats and dogs.
That's right. We talk about dog poop and cat poop all the time on the radio, but now this is an important issue.
Well, not that the other isn't important, just in its own context.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's more about fun and about making sure that it's a quality of life issue, but it's a little bit different than putting food on the table. We're keeping carpet apples from being stepped on in the middle of the night. A whole different,
apples.
Different crappy problems, that's all.
Literally.
Literally, yes.
Anyway, the question before the break is, you've got a shop that's unionized, and they've got 20 guys doing the job of that really needs 25, but the company says, hey, Kevin, I'm not going to give you the 5 more jobs. Now, I realize that you can't force them to hire 5 more guys, especially if they're living up to their collective bargaining agreement, right?
Right.
All right. When it comes time for a new contract, can you negotiate new jobs?
Yes, per se, you can. Through your negotiating process, as far as your economic structure, you can try to maintain a goal of job security.
Okay, now let me interrupt you just a second. Let me maybe ask that question a different way. Is it more important to you to provide a guarantee of the jobs you already have in a shop as opposed to trying to force new jobs?
Well, we'd always like to have numbers grow with our companies, but our most important goal is to maintain a good hourly wage, health care benefits, in a pension plan that will afford these members to live a quality life, raise their families, and have a health care plan that is, in my opinion, outside the box. The Teamsters health care plans are just phenomenal.
Okay. And that's all great. I mean, that sounds fabulous, and it's like, okay, well, this is great. Now, let's talk about a lot of people are losing jobs. Are a lot of these union jobs?
Absolutely.
So because I'm not educated and I'm not picking on the unions here, how does that happen? How do we lose union jobs?
Well, for one thing, NAFTA, GATT, giving the companies the flexibility to take our jobs across the border. They're not taking across the border just jobs that are more or less service industry jobs. They're taking away manufacturing jobs, high-quality jobs that you can afford to raise your family on, that you can have a health care plan and a pension plan. And they're taking them across the border in groves. I mean, an average of 3 million jobs have been lost under the Bush administration.
I got to tell you, there's one guy in particular that listens to the network, happens to live in the Dallas area, mechanical engineer, has an MBA, can't find a job. Now, I realize that this is a little outside the union purveyance, but it's remarkable when we stop and think about the reality of what's happening. I'm sure that you're both aware that in the Detroit area right now, and I know that Farmer Jack are they a national chain? A regional chain?
They're regional.
Okay. I'm sure you've heard that they went to their union and asked for a 5% concession this week to keep stores open. I went to vote maybe, I think it's Monday or Tuesday next week it's going to vote. So this is a case where management comes to you guys, Kevin, and says, listen, for our own viability to keep stores open, you need to take a 5% pay cut. Now, for doing that, I think it was 2006, we're going to give that 5% back. What if they're not around in 2006?
Yeah, there's no guarantee.
Yep.
So my question is, and I'm sure you've been in situations like this where the shop will come to you and say, hey, you know, Kevin, you represent a great group of guys. We love our employees, but we're struggling. I'm sure you can, at least at some level, you're seeing some kind of financials on the company. They've got to give something to you, right?
Right.
Okay. And you see that they are losing money. How hard is it for you to go to your guys and say, listen, the reality is, as much as this sucks, as much as I don't want to do this, in order to keep your job, you're going to have to take a 5% pay cut.
It's probably one of the hardest things for a labor leader or a labor organization to do is go back to their membership and ask them to take a concessionary contract. We collectively bargain a contract in good faith with the employer, know full well that we are going to live up to our expectations, and we expect them to do that. But you owe it to your members, and you have an obligation to your members, that if the company is in financial disarray, that you go back to them and let them have a voice. You owe it to them to let them have a voice, whether they would take a concessionary contract to save their jobs or open up the floodgates and let them leave this country. No labor leader likes to give a concessionary contract, and that's not what you negotiate when you go to the negotiating table. But in this economy, the way it is right now, it's happening all over America.
Yeah, Mark.
That's part of the reason why. What you have is you have so many non-union grocery store chains that are paying cashiers $5 an hour, $6 an hour, which is not a living wage, that you have butchers who are in the back who are getting injured on the job because they're not trained butchers. They haven't gone through a process of being a apprentice and learning a skill in a trade the way my uncle did, my father's brother, who was a meat cutter for the A&P chain before they went out. He was a union meat cutter, proud of it for years. You have these situations where it's what's happening. And the people are in the unions all say, what does the union do for me? Here I am paying this, and then what do they give? Well, you know what? Here's what happens. When you have a grocery store down the street that is paying half your wage, but yet you're supporting your family on it, now you have to give back because you didn't stand up with your brothers and sisters. You didn't get involved. You let the union be an institution, not a movement. It's a movement of the spirit and of the heart as much as it is of the pocketbook. And if you're not going to be fired up, you're going to get fired.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was in California back in September, and they had a grocery store strike. The day that I got there was the first day of the strike, and nobody kind of really knew it was going on because it was that morning when it started. I got there in the morning, and, you know, we were driving around. I had a driver pick me up at the airport, and we were driving to the hotel, and, you know, I'm going, what's going on? Nobody knew what was going on. Well, when I got back that evening and I watched the news, it was Mark and Kevin. Basically, that was the issue, is that the union had asked for a 3% increase in wages and some basic health benefits. Here's the key to it, though. And this is what I found absolutely fascinating. What the unions did was said, what the management said is, we're absolutely not going to do it. And not only are we not going to give you what you want, but they even got the non-union grocery stores in Los Angeles to lock out their employees.
Oh, lovely.
Now, guess who won? Unions won.
That's right.
They got their jobs back, and they got their increase, and they got their health benefits. Because you know what happens? You can't sell food if there's nobody there to ring it up and nobody there to stock the shelves. So I don't know what the pissing match was all about.
What about food safety, too? Gee, you mean if that milk doesn't get rotated correctly or that meat isn't cared for correctly? Oh, it's going to be just fine. Go ahead and eat it, folks. Go to a grocery store that doesn't take pride in what they're doing. Fine, it's safe. I wouldn't worry about it.
All right, Kevin, I know you're going to be with us in the next hour as well. There are some issues I want to say for the next hour. But for right now, I want to talk a little bit about the American dream as we know it. You know, Mark, you were talking a little bit about the Industrial Revolution,
right?
And that was the creation of the middle class. Middle class is certainly shrinking. I think we can all agree on that.
Absolutely.
What happens? I think that less than 10% of the American workforce is organized.
Right.
I don't know what that means in terms of numbers, but I do know that at one time, close to 30% of the American workforce was unionized. What happened?
Well, first and foremost, with the organization at the Teamsters, the deregulation under the Reagan administration, deregulation hurt our movement drastically. It took the trucking industry and just totally deregulated and left the window open for all these non-union entities to pop up and run and have no government control or guidelines or any kind of oversight at all from the government.
They lowered the professional standards.
Yes,
what they
did. And that was the demise of, well, not the demise, the downfall of organizing the trucking industry. It made it a lot tougher for us to go out there because they were having what we call rodeo cowboys running the road for 80 cents a mile, 70 cents a mile, which, you know, they're living in a truck. They're not making a wage. They're not making a living. They're running up and down the highways, spending exorbitant amount of hours in a truck, and basically just getting by to pay their truck payment and put a little money in their pocket. They're really not making a middle-class wage.
And so we have this shrinking, quality issue as well. It's not just that we're losing jobs. Those that are working in non-union jobs are not as qualified.
Well, not just losing jobs, safety issue, safety across the board. When you had a regulated industry, you could regulate the safety of the tractors and trailers running up and down the highway. Now we have trucks up and down our highways in America that are totally unsafe to be on the road. And if they open up the gates of Mexico into America, it's going to be
frightening.
Yeah, it's going to be frightening. It's going to be the next ultimate storm.
All right. Let me tell you a quick story. Back in, had to be the late 1970s, because I graduated high school in 1980. I was in the South for Easter. And went to see a movie. Went to the show. Went and saw Norma Rae. You ever seen Norma Rae, Kevin?
Sure have.
Okay. You don't want to see that movie in the South. They didn't appreciate that movie too much. And maybe it was just where I was at, but people were booing the screen. And here I'm sitting there going, yeah, man, this is great. And did not realize as a 17, 18-year-old kid that I had to should have kept my mouth shut. When we think of great union movements, and certainly we're sitting in the middle, literally in Detroit, we're sitting in the middle of the heart of what union means. UAW, Teamsters, and there are others in the area.
AFL-CIO, the IAM. I mean, there's so many of them.
We have this this amazing menu of opportunities. Are the unions starting to realize that, you know, maybe it's time we dialogued a little better amongst ourselves, started to work together to provide some fundamental rights to people that we need to reach out? You know, when we were having breakfast the other morning, we were talking about look for the union label.
The last great marketing campaign by the unions, and that was the 1970s.
You know, actually, there is, I did a little research. Buy American was another union slogan. That was a union slogan.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That was in the 80s.
It was in the 80s, but it wasn't identified as a union slogan.
No.
So, because I know you, you're an olive branch guy. Of course, you'll beat the crap out of somebody if you have to, too, and I mean that figuratively, not literally. But you're an olive branch kind of guy. Do you see that unions can, all unions need to come together with some fundamental issues, some foundational issues, and say it's time we reach out to an entire community, the American populace.
I think that's imperative that we do that. We need to find a way to do it. We need to take this, as we all know, it started off as a movement back in the early 50s and 60s, and then we institutionalized. Now we need to bring this back to a movement again, and I mean a cross-border movement where all labor is together, standing side by side and forgetting your own personal agenda, what's better for the labor movement as a whole. And that's the only way that we are going to come together to literally start a new movement in this country. Whether you were a Teamster, which I live and bleed Teamsters, but there's UAW, there's Operating Engineers, AFL-CIO. I mean, if you just look at it in a perspective, the Teamsters is 1.4 million people standing on the other side of the street and looking at the other labor standing on across the street. Have them walk across the street and add 20 million people standing together. The ramification is the power that you will have to make your issues heard, not only as collective bargaining agreements, but as a political arena. The next coming of the presidential race. If middle-class America doesn't wake up and take control of what they want for their life, for their children, I have a 13-year-old boy. I'm deathly afraid of what his future is going to be if middle-class America does not wake up, whether you are pro-union or you're not pro-union. If you're a middle-class person that isn't the luxury to be unionized, you still are a mainstream middle-class person, and you need to grab a hold of your future and be collectively involved in your future, or our middle-class America is destined to die.
You know, and that's an excellent point. Two of the things we're going to definitely talk about in the next hour is the presidential election, and we are going to talk about some of the myths that surround unions, because there are a lot of people, as you know, that say unions are actually the cause and problem of economic woes in this country.
No, I totally disagree.
I know you do. Of course you do. You're going to get a chance to respond to that. But there are some people that do believe that, that they believe that, you know, if you've got a union job, then you're not really working for a living. As soon as you get a union job, basically what's happened is you've got an excuse to get a paycheck, and you don't have to do anything for it. And I know you've heard this before. Don't tell me you haven't.
I hear it every time we go to the organizing campaign.
I'm sure that's true. You know, but going back again to this idea that we have a say in our future. Our boys play football together, Kevin. Our families interact with one another. We live in a community that's very diverse. We're blessed to live in a community that gets along well, for the most part. Not everybody is afforded that opportunity. The reality is that you're right, that all middle-class people, whether you are organized or not, in a union or not, need to step up, or you're going to lose whatever that designation, we'll call it middle-class, Mark, whatever we want, we're going to lose that designation. We're going to take one more quick break in this hour, and then we'll come back. Tony Truppiano here, Kevin Moore, Mark Hannes, 1-800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need more tissues.
Sleep like
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Oh, thanks. Welcome back. Hi, Char. I didn't say hi to Char yet. Char, I love you and I miss you and I'm glad to see you. And thanks for the wonderful hug earlier. Happy holidays. Do you have a nice Christmas? Absolutely. I am not politically correct, by the way. I do celebrate Christmas. Christmas.
Me too.
When Christ was born, that's the holiday I celebrate. For those of you that don't know what that is, I don't get
it. So for those of you who celebrate other holidays, whether it's Hanukkah or Kwanzaa.
Well, no, I'm all for that. It's just like all of a sudden.
As a matter of fact, though I celebrated Hanukkah this year, I have not been involved in a Kwanzaa celebration, but I want to be.
It's actually a lot of fun.
I think it would be great.
I went to a Kwanzaa festival 2 years ago. Got drunker than a skunk, man. I don't need a whole lot of excuse to drink. So
like Christmas parties with my group.
Absolutely.
Rum.
Mark Hannes is with us. He's, of course, host of the nationally syndicated Animal Talk radio show. And he is heard on this very network, the IE America Radio Network. Kevin Moore is with us. He is recently elected president of Teamsters Local 299 here in the Detroit area. We're talking about quality of life issues. In the next hour, we're going to get to the presidential election. We're going to talk about unions, the myths, and we're going to give Kevin a chance to dispel those myths. He is chomping at the bit to do that. Mark, you wanted to make a point before we get out for this hour.
That this issue of unions and the middle class is not a partisan issue. It's not Democratic. It's not Republican. It's not conservative. It's not liberal. It has to do with the very fabric of this country. And I would consider myself probably towards the end of it as a conservative Democrat. I'm a conservative Democrat. Now, what that means is I don't agree with anybody on anything. I agree with some people on almost everything, if that makes sense. I'll have issues. But this does not mean that Tony tends to be a little bit more liberal than I am. We agree 90% of the issues. That's where we have to be in this country. We have to build a coalition of people who are not multimillionaires, who are not multinationalists. I had a problem with AOL, and I called, and I was sent to India. I was talking to people in India.
Yeah.
I'm talking to people who are software engineers, but not in this country. So, gee, maybe it's a union issue even for people with their master's degrees in computers.
Absolutely. Kevin Moore is going to stay with us into the next hour. Mark Hannes will be here as well. I'm Tony Trupiano. And for Mike Malloy, we're going to break for the top of the hour. On the other side, the presidential election coming up. We're going to talk about unions. Tony at thetonyshow.com, 800-825-5937. We'll be back.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Mm-hmm.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, pathetic. Too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate
not
me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Guerrillas extended the biggest insurgent attacks in Iraq since Saddam Hussein's capture, killing four soldiers in mortar and bomb attacks, the U.S. military said on Friday. A roadside bomb killed one soldier and wounded another when it exploded by a convoy near Baqaba, about 40 miles north of Baghdad, early on Friday. A second soldier was killed the same day trying to defuse a bomb outside the town, a military spokesman said. Two other U.S. soldiers were killed in a mortar attack on a U.S. camp near Baqaba on Thursday. A powerful earthquake struck the ancient Silk Road city of Bam in southeastern Iran on Friday, killing at least 4,000 people and injuring some 30,000 others, state television said. The television said the number was only an initial statistic and indicated the death toll was expected to rise further. Iranian TV said about 70% of the buildings in the historic city, a popular tourist destination 6 miles southeast of the capital, Tehran, had collapsed in the earthquake, which measured 6.3 on the Richter scale. Reuters witnesses said many houses had been flattened and squares were packed with crying children and people left without a home, huddled in blankets to protect them from the cold. Bombers set off two massive blasts near Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf's motorcade Thursday, killing 12 people and themselves in the second assassination attempt against Musharraf in 11 days. The president was unhurt, but at least 46 other people were wounded. The blasts came just a day after Musharraf agreed to step down as army chief by the end of 2004. Musharraf appeared calm in an interview on state-run television about 7 hours after the attack, saying the attempt was the work of misguided extremists. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. That's just too much to lose.
A man who lost a Christmas lights competition at a Florida apartment complex became enraged and pulled several lights from the winner's display, according to Martin County Sheriff's reports. The contest winner told deputies a neighbor who thought he should have won ripped out some of her lights and unplugged two extension cords. She said a witness told her the neighbor also tore down his own display in a rage after Monday's competition. They were still looking for the neighbor, and no arrests were reported. The organizer of the contest told deputies he witnessed the damage and couldn't believe how things spiraled out of control. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this 6-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears home improvement centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This is Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
The chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Right now, right here, right now.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
With special guest host Tony Trupiano.
Welcome one and all to hour two of the 3-hour marathon we call the Mike Malloy Show. I know, a show of hands. How many of you are going, oh, not that Tony Trupiano again?
You found Tony!
Thank you so much. It is a pleasure to sit in for Mike as always. And a couple ways you can interact with the program. You can call us directly, 1-800-825-5937. That's 1-800-TALK-YES. Or you can send an email, tony@thetonyshow.com. Either way you want to do it is fine. We're talking unions throughout the whole program today. And the purpose of this is to just really take a look at the American society and what's happening to the middle class. And Is there something to cure what ails us? Because the reality is, many of us are suffering economically, and many of us do not have health care in this country. Many of us are concerned about the next generation. More importantly, I have a son that's 21 years old. We just had a grandbaby. You start to think about things you don't think about when those aren't a part of your life. In studio with me is Kevin Moore. Kevin is president of the Teamsters Local 299 here in the Detroit area.
Hi, Kevin.
Also, Mark Connes is with us. He is the animal. I'm sorry. Oh, host of Animal Talk, not the animal.
No, my nickname is Mark the Animal Honest. That's absolutely true. That's why I'm screaming in the background, because I cannot be contained.
Jamie, is there a cage for him? Have we tried?
I'm in a good mood. This has just been a great show. It's been a very uplifting show.
It's been interesting. Kevin, I'm glad you're staying with us. Let's talk a little politics, and then we'll move on to some other union issues. Obviously, we have a presidential election coming up in 2004. There isn't a person within the sound of my voice that doesn't understand how important it is that we unseat the current Bush administration, get rid of this president, come back to some of the more important values and issues that affect the average person in this country. The wealth are going to always be wealth. The wealthy are going to always be wealthy. We can't touch that. I don't have a problem with people being wealthy. If I were one of them especially, it wouldn't be a problem, Kevin. I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yes, I do.
But the truth is, the majority of the people that you know, that I know, the people certainly that you represent as a union president, certainly part of the International Union working with James Hoffa Jr., there are a lot of people that are making a living wage. This presidential election is important. The Teamsters came out early for one guy.
Yes, we did, Dick Gephardt.
Okay, now you've said it. Now you've said it, Kevin.
Wholeheartedly, I said it, Dick Gephardt.
I guess I want to ask you this question. Why do you feel, and you obviously feel strongly about Dick Gephardt.
In my opinion, he's the only candidate for the race. If you look back through his tenure, not just for votes on labor issues, but votes for mainstream middle-class America, he's always voted on their behalf. The other candidates talk about the economy in this country, but yet they vote for NAFTA and GATT. Dick Gephardt shows his track record that he stays right down the middle for mainstream middle-class America.
All right. A lot of, and I'm just going to tell you, because I've been part of this audience, I have been a part of other audiences on this network. This is a very progressive, very liberal network. They don't believe that Gephardt or Kerry are the right guy for the job, Kevin, because they are too centrist. They're more part of the, not the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, but the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council, the centrists, the moderates of the party. And that a centrist, a moderate Democrat, cannot beat George W. Bush. You disagree with
that? I disagree wholeheartedly.
Why do you think that Gephardt can beat George Bush?
Just his track record alone, under the Clinton administration, he was in the forefront of with the Clinton economic plan that created probably the best economic structure in the 90s that this country has seen. He knows every facet of government. He's been there, leader, Speaker of the House. He was, as I said again, one of the leaders in the Clinton economic plan, not to mention that he is in the forefront of a national health care plan that Bush talks about with lip service and couldn't deliver, still won't deliver, and can't deliver. It's a disgrace that 45 million Americans sitting out there without health care in this country. And Gephardt has a concise plan to deliver that.
All right. With all that said, he's not doing well in the polls. He's not doing well in the initial primaries. I mean, he's third at best in Iowa. I believe third at best in New Hampshire. The early primaries are important. Howard Dean is up 30-some-odd points in both of those primaries. Dick Gephardt just doesn't seem to be resonating with the voter.
Well, I think that when Iowa comes out and it all shakes out in a wash, that I truly feel that Dick Gephardt will lead and win in Iowa. He won't win in New Hampshire, but he'll place in New Hampshire. And then when we come to our home state of Michigan, we have an army of people in the streets that are going to push the votes out for Dick Gephardt, just like we did in the labor organization, labor movement for Jennifer Granholm in this state.
And for those that don't know, in the national audience, Jennifer Granholm is the current governor of the state of Michigan. Some would have said there's no way a woman can win. We had a lot of years of a Republican governor. Not only did she win, she won decisively. And she ran in the primaries against a very popular Democrat in David Bonnier.
David Bonnier's track record, he was a phenomenal leader for labor organizations. He was a stand-up person and a great man. But at that point in time in politics, I think Jennifer Granholm was the candidate that this state was looking for and was going to come out and be the leader. And our organization got behind her, and we put an army of people in the streets and delivered the votes. It's all about getting votes. Everybody talks about how much money George Bush has, and he has an army. I mean, he has Fort Knox in his backyard.
God knows that's true.
But the labor organization and middle-class mainstream America, if they get on the bandwagon and get out there and vote, our votes can supersede their money. Money is not everything. Votes are what's going to deliver this race.
All right. Teamsters came out early for Dick Gephardt. I'm sure he's very pleased with that. Proof will be in the pudding. We've got some primaries coming up. If he certainly doesn't place as well in Iowa, or, again, you almost have to concede New Hampshire. I mean, that's Howard Dean's backyard.
Sure.
That's fine. The reality is you get into some of the industrial states, you get into Super Tuesday, Dick Gephardt is going to have to make a decision early on. There are some that are saying that by Super Tuesday in March, it's over. Whoever wins, that's it. The Democrats then need to unite behind who that candidate is, whether it is Howard Dean or John Kerry, Dick Gephardt, whoever the guy happens to be. Will the Teamsters support Howard Dean if he is the nominee of the party?
I don't speak for the general president of the Teamsters Union. I work for him and follow his lead. But he will make the proper decision, and I'm sure he will support the Democratic leader coming out of there. And as a movement, we will put our army in the streets and push to do what we have to do to get George W. Bush out of office. I mean, I would vote for Bozo the Clown over George W. Bush.
Yeah, well, I'd agree with that.
I think this is a situation where you're having the primaries are kind of like the family getting together and saying, okay, who are we going to send? Who are we going to send? And once that's over, and there's a decision, that's when you're going to see the labor movement becoming a decisive factor. And
I agree.
And obviously, Tony's going to be doing everything he can to help that along the way. Well,
the important thing is to get rid of George Bush. And I'm not saying this because he's just a Republican. I'm not just anti-Republican, although I am anti-Republican. I am anti-George Bush as a leader, as a man, as a whatever. I don't even know how to describe him. I seriously don't. The guy's a snake. You know, maybe he should listen to Animal Talk and figure out how to shed his skin.
He has definitely failed this country as far as being a leader for the economic structure of our country. Yes, he has his vendetta to his foreign policy to make up for what his dad messed up at. And he's putting all his efforts into that while he's watching our country go down the tubes.
Yeah, but let's remember, George Bush was the president who said, the candidate who said, I am not strong on foreign policy, but my focus as president will be domestic issues, not foreign policy issues. Was 9/11 forced upon him? You know, one of the things we're going to find out very soon, the 9/11 Commission is about to come out with the report. George Bush may have been able to stop September 11th. We may find that out very soon. I happen to think that that's true, that Dick Cheney allowed this to happen, that hid information because he understood the economic impact it would have on the Halliburtons and the corporations of this country. And certainly since September 11th, your Fortune 500s have done quite well, thank you very much. They have done quite well. Did this president know that? Did this president deliberately let this happen, not really understanding the greater implications of it? He is not strong in foreign policy. There's no question about that. But he hasn't shown that he's strong in domestic policy either, Kevin.
No, he hasn't. You mentioned the Halliburton. So you look at the foreign policy, $90 billion going across the ocean to build and rebuild a country that we have helped demise. Why 45 million Americans in this country do not have health care? Everybody in this country could have health care for $90 billion.
You're right. I mean, that's a great point to make. The money that we're spending in Iraq alone, this is not even Afghanistan.
Right.
The money we're spending in Iraq alone would provide basic health care. I'm talking emergency care, well care for children, just basic health care.
Basic prescriptions, those kind of things.
I mean, completely covered with the money we've sent to Iraq.
The things we fight for, our collective bargaining agreements, for the contracts for our members. Our biggest cost increase across the board is health care. And without a national health care plan, these corporations' costs that they have to absorb by going to a collective bargaining agreement, not just in the union, but in the private sector that doesn't have a union, that, you know, our members are afforded the luxury of not having a big out-of-pocket copay. Well, the people that don't have a union, that health insurance, a family might pay $50 to $75 a week of their income for their health care plan.
Well, that's a big issue. You know, and Mark, we'll talk about your experience in just a moment. I know where my wife works. They do provide health care. And I've been self-employed my entire life, my entire adult life. And the reason, part of the reason my wife went back to work was to get benefits because it was costing us too much money out of my pocket. At one point, I was paying $800 a month for health care for my family. Now, I'm telling you, when you start the first of every month, knowing you've got your mortgage, health care, car payment, insurance,
you're in the hole.
You're in the hole. I mean, you know, you've got it. You already know that the first 2 weeks of the month are, if you're lucky, we'll cover those. If you're lucky, we'll cover those expenses, if not all 4 weeks of the month. But they recently changed their health plan because they're looking to save money. And all of a sudden, my copay prescriptions went from $20 to $40 a prescription. And it changed the whole formula has changed. Now, some would say, well, you're fortunate that you have any health insurance at all. Isn't that a shame that I'm fortunate that I have any health insurance at all?
Well, that is something that Dick Hepbar talks about in his speech, that his son is still alive today due to the fact that he had health care when other families in the same hospital he was at watched their children die because they didn't have health care.
Well, and that's happening today. Let's not fool ourselves. That kind of stuff's happening today. 1-800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's hear for you. I'm from you. I'm Tony Truppiano in for Mike Malloy. We'll take a break and be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. It is 24 minutes after the hour. Tony Trupiano in for Mike Malloy. I'll be here Monday and Tuesday as well. We've got a great show lined up on Tuesday, by the way. We're going to do a year-end roundtable. Kevin will be with us again. Mark Hannes will be with us again as well. And we've got some other guests coming in. I'm saving one seat for you, the audience, so that you can participate, as I'd like you to do this evening. Feel free to give us a call, 1-800-825-5937, and the email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. Let me go to an email. Shelby writes, Dean has the charisma required to win in today's soundbite TV culture. The other candidates have good platforms but lack the leadership. In the end, Mr. Dean will be the horse for the race, and Dean also strikes me as being mean enough to deal with the right-wing extremists. I support Kucinich, Shelby writes, but I will switch to Dean in the end. As I've said on this show and other shows, it doesn't really matter in the bigger picture now who the eventual candidate is of the Democratic Party. We need to support that person. There's a whole issue, and we can talk about this just very briefly. Nader, Green Party, he's going to come in. He's already said, but this time it's a little different because he's saying he may come in as an independent,
right,
not a member of the Green Party. And I'm not quite sure why that is. The only reason I bring that up, and I think the relevancy here is that, and I've said this before, and although some people take me to task for saying this, you can't vote for a third party guy this time.
No.
And people say, don't tell me who I can and can't vote for. This time I am. You've got to vote for the Democrat. You've got to vote for a winner. We're not going to elect a third-party guy in this country.
It is the most important race for middle-class America.
Will this race, Kevin Moore, not define the next generation of Americans?
Unequivocally. It'll be the rise and fall of middle-class America.
Well, it scares the hell out of me. And this president scares the hell out of me. I mean,
he's
really
tough.
Does.
He is a great political animal. Don't underestimate him.
Oh, nobody's underestimating him.
No, I'm just telling you, if you're going to vote for a third party, do not underestimate him, folks. A third party vote, sorry, is a wasted vote.
This time around, it is.
Absolutely.
I normally would say, hey, listen, go ahead and vote for a third party guy. Vote your conscience. Vote your own platform. Vote your beliefs. I don't care if you want to vote for the dog catcher this time around. Next time around. This time around, it's about our future. And if people don't wake up to that reality, and I mean quickly, and we've been talking about this for months on this network. Char will tell you, we have been passionately talking about this for months on the network. And let me tell you, I get really scared when I see Bush's poll numbers going back up again. That support for the war is now positive 2-1. Can't fathom that, but that's the way it is. The president's approval rating back up. The president's reelectability numbers now again over 55%. 2 months ago, he was beatable. Now he's not. What the hell's going on?
That's staggering to think about that. I mean, is middle-class America living in a tunnel where they don't see what's happening around them?
Let me ask you a question, because you're with blue-collar guys, Kevin, every day. You're with the people that make this world hum, okay? Do they care about the presidential election?
I truly believe our movement does, because we are in the field with our members. Across the board, it shows our membership votes. That's why every presidential candidacy seeks the endorsement of the Teamsters movement, because our members, and we push our members to the voting polls. But we need to take it another step further, not just the Teamsters. All of labor and all of middle class America must wake up, must run to the polls to vote against George W. Bush.
Well, you know, somebody had sent me an email months ago on the show, and they said, as long as people can get in their SUV, go to church, and go out to breakfast on Sunday, they don't really care. And there's some truth to that. Democrat or Republican, Libertarian, I don't care who you are, as long as your basic needs are met, you know, it's happening to the other guy, not to you.
Well, I think part of the problem is, though, too, is that 9/11 scared people. And George W. Bush, with the war in Iraq, had made people feel safer.
And how? I don't feel any safer.
People do. It is talk.
All right,
that
well,
is the
here's
reality.
The question. Let me throw that out to the audience. Do you feel safer since September 11th?
With now that George W. Bush went in and took out Saddam?
Well, he didn't do a damn thing.
Well, you know.
I understand. Anyway, 1-800-825-5937. Tony at thetonyshow.com. Mark Connors with me. Kevin Moore. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is John Lucas from Operations here at IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
The environment isn't all bad news. A new book finds plenty to cheer about. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. If you're looking for an environmental hero, consider the Collins Pine Company. David Suzuki profiles the timber operation in his new book, Good News for a Change, How Everyday People Are Helping the Planet.
Here is a family-owned company that has been in operation now for 150 years. They do $250 million worth of business a year, so this is not a small logging company. This is a major corporation. And if you go through their forests, you don't see clear cuts anywhere. And their forests, which have been logged for 150 years, are considered among the best examples of what an old-growth forest should be. So you walk through their forests, you have no idea that there's a logging operation going on.
Collins Pine has 7,500 employees and operates in Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Northern California. Suzuki says the company is a good citizen any way you look at it.
They feel that they've got to return benefits of their operation to the community. So they take a considerable amount of their revenue to set up scholarships, to support community events and activities.
Suzuki and co-author Holly Dressel found other companies doing good things, including some that might surprise you. There's William Clayton Ford, head of the Ford Motor Company, who says the auto industry must cut the environmental impact of its products. Ford has promised to convert the company's SUVs to energy-efficient hybrid engines. Suzuki says even Nike, long considered a bad actor for its use of sweatshop labor, has responded to criticism. Suzuki says it's not all bad news out there, and he wants to credit those companies that are trying to do better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Tick-tick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Ostrich.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Come, fire
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shar Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, Kevin.
A happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
We'll be right back.
it's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Absolutely. I am that special guest. You know, Char, I've never been this. I've always been like a guest host or with guest hosts, but never the special guest. Am I mentally handicapped? Is it, you know?
It's special Tony.
Special Ed. Yeah, there you go. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. Kevin Moore with me. Mark Hannes here as well. The number again, 1-800-825-5937. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's go to the phones, and we'll welcome Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire. Brian, welcome to the Malloy Show. Tony Trupiano with you. How are you today?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Happy holidays to you.
Happy, same to you, and I hope for a peaceful new year. No, I don't feel at all. I feel much less safe after the invasion of Iraq, especially, Tony, and I hope for a peaceful new year. I think it will probably have that because this quote-unquote elected president wants to look more moderate until the election is out of the way in 2004. And then after that, all my nieces or nephews are all becoming of draft age, and then it's North Korea, it's Venezuela, it's Iran, it's Syria. It could be as 5 or 6 other countries as well that have some sort of a natural resource, oil especially, component to the Bush team in they're invading these countries. And it's disgusting. I'm a former Marine. I've emailed you before, Tony. I knew a number of the kids killed at Beirut in October 1983. And then the Iran-Contra happens after that, that we sell guns and missiles, weapons of mass destruction to their murderers. And Ronald Reagan does that. He still gets treated like a patriot, him and Oliver North. I'm disgusted by this. There's nothing at all, but some of our greatest patriots in this country have been Democrats, so there's nothing at all unpatriotic about being a Democratic Party member. And also, what scares me about this Bush regime, I remind people that they need to go to GregPalace.com, see that new unprecedented DVD movie. Hello?
Yeah, yes. Brian, which movie are you referring to?
The unprecedented movie about the 2000
election. I've seen that movie.
Yeah, and it tells you so much about what this bunch is all about. They'll try to get away with anything, and they may well do it again. If you're one man, one vote was murdered, especially for black Americans in Florida 2000. This group is disgusting. And what's even on top of that, I'm just reading a book by Brzezinski, the grand chessboard he wrote in 1997 about the oil and the gas pipelines that have been planned in Central Asia and Eurasia through Afghanistan and Pakistan and all of that. And they don't even in their dealings with the Taliban that it's on historical record they did between February and August 2001, which let our guard down to Al-Qaeda in this way and so many other ways. And then George Bush's Jr.'s outrageous complacency, then his outrageous cowardice as our so-called commander-in-chief on September 11th. It's also disgusting. But even after they invade Afghanistan, they still go for the easy prize in Iraq after that.
And it was the easy prize. Yes. You make a good point there, Brian. They did go after the easy prize. They knew it was going to fall quickly. As we were just saying, they didn't realize that once they got in there, Jamie was saying earlier he likes to kick beehives. What they did was they kicked a beehive.
They sure did.
That's what they did was they, you know, I got to ask you, Brian, who are you going to support for the president?
Right now I'm backing John Kerry, but I have a feeling that the Republican, when they turn up this corporate media, that he's going to have to be some kind of I worked for Bob Kerry in the 92 campaign, and he didn't win. But that was a different time in American history. I've got a feeling they'll go after Dean and his so-called... He's an honest peace activist. He was during the Vietnam War, and he honestly dodged the draft. But he was for peace, like Bill Clinton. He was not a chicken hawk like the current occupant of the White House. And Howard Dean, I would gladly vote for him and proudly do so at any time. He's a patriot, as is John Kerry. But I think the Republican media is going to make it into where the guy's got to be a war hero first of all. And John Kerry is on top of that. He's a very peaceful, reasonable man. And we need that now more than ever because what has happened now is it could come back to bite us 20 years from now, 50 years from now, that this guy in the White House doesn't care as long as he gets by 2004. But our
well, that's something we do need to be concerned about.
Our kids and our grandkids do, that's for sure, and we do as well.
Your thoughts on Dick Gephardt, since the Teamsters have endorsed Dick Gephardt? Do you think
Sure, compared to what we got, he's a good populist man, he's a solid guy from the Midwest, he's so much more of a true American than you can begin to. I can't think of a Republican that's anywhere close to him, except for maybe John McCain, maybe. But to me, anybody but George W. Bush is a poison has been released on this country, I think, ever since December 12, 2001.
Brian, let me interrupt just a second. First, let me thank you for the call. I appreciate your comments.
I wish Brian come out of shell a bit more.
Yeah. Kevin, I'm glad that Brian called, because he really kind of sums up what a lot of people that listen to this network feel. He called him a poison.
Yes, he is.
I know you could feel his disgust. He couldn't even say George Bush.
Right. Yeah, I think the thing that he just touched on, and I think we all looked at each other when he said it, that scares the living hell out of me, is what we're not looking for with George W. Bush, too, is I have a 13-year-old boy, just as you do, Tony.
Mine's 10.
And they're wanting to build a bigger and more powerful army. Next comes the institution of the draft, and more of our children are going to have to go marching off to war under George W. Bush.
You know, before people write off what you just said, about 3 months ago I was doing a show here on the network, and if you go on the DOD website, the Department of Defense website, they are actually looking for volunteers for local draft boards. This is true. It's right there. Okay? When the DOD was asked why they didn't, their response was, well, we're not reinstituting the draft. We have always had draft boards. They never eliminated draft boards in the country. But what they are doing is, as people are retiring or dying, you know, they need to now, you know, repopulate the draft boards, because in case we ever reinstitute the draft, we need to have draft boards in place. Yeah, I'm buying that one. I'm buying that one.
And make sure that you don't misunderstand what I'm saying to you. We have some. I'm very proud of our military force, our men and women of this country. My father was a military man. They are a needed and much. I think I'm blessed to have the military organization we have in this country, because it's just shameful that our men and women are over there dying now because there is no exit way out of Iraq.
Actually, I tell my son all the time, you know, we were talking just the other day about what he's going to do. He's got a little over a year left before he gets out, and he said he wants a union job. And I said, yeah, you give me a call. I know someone that might just be able to help you. But I said, you know, the reality is the military, in my opinion, is one of the greatest unions in the world.
Absolutely.
You know, stop and think. The guaranteed wages, guaranteed benefits, they protect their own. There is no prouder brotherhood than the military brotherhood.
Now,
a formulated structure.
Yeah. I mean, is that not union?
Yes, it is.
Our military is probably one of the elite forces and elite group of men and women in the world, and we should be so proud of them. And folks, make sure that just because you may be against the war in Iraq, do not be against the military. They are following orders of a civilian president. They are doing what they are told, and they are fighting bravely. They're dying bravely. These people are in a situation that they didn't choose, but they're doing the best in a tough place.
Absolutely. Well, and it's tougher than you realize. I have information you guys don't. I have sources you guys don't. Let me tell you some realities. The suicide rate in Iraq among U.S. military personnel, skyrocketing.
Oh, boy.
Drug addiction among the U.S. military in Iraq, skyrocketing. I mean, thousands of guys addicted to drugs. Prostitution's up. Rapes are up. This is a heinous situation in Iraq. And it's even worse in Afghanistan. But, you know, we don't talk about this stuff because we don't want to think that our pristine military could fall into these traps. The reality is we're not taking care of our men and women there. I got an email Christmas morning, and it really angered me more than I can possibly tell you right now, from a family member that has a brother that's a sergeant in Baghdad. And he sends this really nice, touchy-feely, all the wonderful things that the American presence in Iraq has done. And they're all true, okay? Rebuilding schools, infrastructure, very, very true. He forgot to mention how many hundreds of men and women have been murdered since the end of the conflict part of the war. They didn't mention the suicide rate. He didn't mention the drug problem. He didn't mention the rape problem. He didn't mention that guys and men and women can't fall asleep at night because there's no safe place in Iraq right now. So I'm glad that they've got schools that are working, lights that work, and water that's running. But men and women from this country are needlessly dying to support a corporate war, and that's all this is. It's about oil. So the people can feel good about this all they want. I'm concerned for our military. I'm proud of them, yes, but I'm very, very concerned about what's happening over there. And this, and the stuff I told you, I can prove it all. This is happening, and we need to be very, very concerned about this. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
You know, I wish Tony would learn to say what he feels. You know, we're working on getting Tony to come
listen,
out.
Listen, there are some certain realities to what's happening, and I want to bring this back to unions for a moment. The purpose of this was about unions. When we don't have good, solid, middle-class jobs in this country, sometimes the only option to young men and women in this country is the U.S. military. I'm not saying that's a bad option, Kevin. But what I am saying is that they're there not necessarily by choice. They're joining the military out of necessity.
It's the only option they have.
Right. So unions can now change that option, unless, of course, the draft is instituted, and then that screws everybody over. But unions, if they have a solid economy behind them, if they have real jobs with real wages, with real benefits to offer these people, all of a sudden, and let's talk, you know, we haven't talked at all about minorities in this country. Where would minorities be today without unions?
In the back burner. That today in this movement, there is Hispanic descent, African-American descent people in the Teamsters movement coming to the forefront to be leaders, which there isn't enough of today. And the largest growing populace in America is the Spanish descent people. And we better be versed culturally, and we better reach out to these other cultures and bring them to the forefront to be leaders also.
Well, you bring up a good point. We were talking about this briefly before the show. I said, you know, because I like to do my homework, I went on the International Brotherhood of Teamsters website and looked at the executive council, and there are 12, 15 people on there, only one woman. And you said, absolutely, there's only one woman. I said, why is that? Your response to me, Kevin, was nobody's stepping up.
Right. And there is people stepping up. We have women in our organization that are coming to the forefront now, but in years past, it was definitely a male-orientated organization. And you have to be, especially in this time in our future, you have to be multicultural, sexually diverse. Otherwise, you
won't
survive.
Not bisexual. You're not saying no.
No.
Now, you had mentioned the other morning we were having breakfast, there's a woman that works, I don't know if she works for Hoffa, but I don't know who it was, but you spoke very passionately about her skills, about her leadership ability. I don't remember the woman's name.
There's a lady vice president, Dottie Malinsky.
That's her, yes.
And we also have a lady in our organization that is assistant to the general president, Cheryl Johnson, who is a very dynamic lady in this movement that is our human rights director. I had the pleasure to march in Atlanta with her
recently
with the general president and marched on the Capitol in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was That is what brought the hair on my neck to stand up again, is what I call the movement starting out again. We had thousands of people marching in the street of Atlanta, Georgia, for human rights people, not just union people, the rights for all men and women in this country. And it was, and she was one of the leaders in that. And it was.
Can I arm wrestle you to stay for another hour?
I'd love to, but I have a son that's coming home at 11:30, and he's 13 years old, and I must pick him up.
All right, that's okay. We're gonna.
But I can stay for another 15 minutes.
All right. Well, we've got you another 15. I want to go to the phones, though, and we've got another call. If you want to join us, 1-800-825-5937. The email again, tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll welcome Peggy in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Peggy, happy holidays. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony.
What's on your mind?
Well, this is beginning to sound like an all-guy show.
Well, then join us.
Yes, welcome.
thank you. I'm grandmother of six. Three were born in France, still live there, and have dual citizenship, and they're older. They're all grown up. My younger daughter has three in Denver, and they're little guys. They're 1, 6, and 8 years old. It seems to me, you know, thinking about these children, that I want to get them all passports to get the hell out of here if Bush is reelected. But the other thing is people's memories are so short. This started out with Bush's threat. I mean, these people, he and his puppeteers lie. Everything that comes out of their mouth is a lie. I hate them. To paraphrase Mike Malloy, I really hate them.
You know, let me ask you a question, because you're right, we do have short memories. Here's an interesting thing. As morally objectionable as Bill Clinton was, we never heard people say, I hate him, did we?
Morally objectionable? Show me a middle-aged man who hasn't had a blowjob. Ridiculous.
I'm with you. Okay.
We just turned it up a notch. See, we were missing the woman's touch on the show.
What is this moral BS? You know, I'm in my 70s. I know what life is. I know what the people are, and their frailties and their magnificence and their artistry and all the good things about them.
Well, Peggy, thank you for your female voice and reasoning. I appreciate that. We've got to go to a break. Thanks so much for calling. We've got a little bit of time left on the other side of this. 800-825-5937. Tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll take a break and be back on the Malloy Show right after this.
Irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for
your risk-free trial of UltraLipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pants sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a
expense account.
What's the problem?
I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to them on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside, punk.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
great.
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back in for Mike Malloy on this Friday night. We are going to be here another hour. Kevin Moore's got to get out of here, so we're going to give him the last few minutes. Kevin, of course, president of Teamsters Local 299, 299er. And you had some parting thoughts.
Well, I had a couple parting thoughts. One of the last callers enlightened me on something when they said about the weapons of mass destruction that George Bush talks about that's over there that he hasn't found. And I think today in America we have weapons of mass destruction that you look at 3 million jobs in this country being lost, a weapon of mass destruction. In the state of Michigan, where I'm from, 150,000 good-paying jobs are lost, weapons of mass destruction. 45 million Americans in this country without health care, that is a weapon of mass destruction. If we don't wake up, it's going to be a demise of the middle-class fiber in this country, and that'll be the destroying, and that will be the ultimate weapon of mass destruction. So I urge middle-class America, whether you are pro-union or not, to get off the couch. March yourself, your sons, your daughters, your aunts, your uncles to the polls and make sure that you grab a hold of the reins and get rid of George W. Bush or there won't be a future for this country.
Let me give people, and that was beautifully said, Kevin Moore, let me give people some information. If you're interested in what the Teamsters do and what they represent, you can go to www.teamster.org. The 299 is redoing their website, but certainly information can be found about the international at teamster.org, O-R-G. You'll be back with us Tuesday.
I would love to.
And we're going to do a roundtable discussion on just the end-of-the-year issues.
And I want to wish every middle-class American and every American in this person a joyous and happy new year. And it's been a pleasure. And I would love to be back.
It was our pleasure. Truly, it was our pleasure. Before we get out of here for this hour, Mark Hannes is going to – I wrestled him to stay with me.
Actually, absolutely.
I didn't wrestle him. Another hour.
Yeah, he forced me to stay on radio. Oh, no.
Yeah. we're going to go open lines in the next hour. We're going to invite a lot of calls, talking about whatever's on people's minds. I've got some stuff I would like to share with them. In the meantime, Kevin, Somebody wants to organize their shop. How do they know if they should be a Teamster or UAW or AFL-CIO or one of the other unions?
I guess it's just a choice issue. Myself, you know, I'm pro Teamsters. But being in a union, having a collective bargaining agreement with protection for wages, health care, and job security, safety issues, a union is a necessity in this country. Whether what union you belong to, it's a must to keep the middle class fiber in this country
going. Kevin Moore, thank you. Thank you, my friend. Mark Connors will be back in the next hour. We're going to take a break. One more hour to go on The Molloy Show. I'm Tony Trupiano. Stay with us.
You're listening to Mike Molloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I'm El Bracciacci, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shar Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Molloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Molloy Show, just say no. This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. A powerful earthquake struck the ancient Silk Road city of Bam in southeastern Iran on Friday, killing at least 4,000 people and injuring some 30,000 others, state television said. The television said the number was only an initial statistic and indicated the death toll was expected to rise further. Iranian TV said about 70% of the buildings in the historic city, a popular tourist destination 6 miles southeast of the capital, Tehran, had collapsed in the earthquake, which measured 6.3 on the Richter scale. Reuters witnesses said many houses had been flattened and squares were packed with crying children and people left without a home, huddled in blankets to protect them from the cold. Guerrillas extended the biggest insurgent attacks in Iraq since Saddam Hussein's capture, killing 4 soldiers in mortar and bomb attacks, the U.S. military said on Friday. A roadside bomb killed 1 soldier and wounded another when it exploded by a convoy near Baqaba, about 40 miles north of Baghdad, early on Friday. A second soldier was killed the same day trying to defuse a bomb outside the town, a military spokesman said. 2 other U.S. soldiers were killed in a mortar attack on a U.S. camp near Baqaba on Thursday. Government food safety officials are working through the holidays to prevent a potential outbreak of mad cow disease while assuring Americans that their beef supply has not been tainted by the 1 confirmed case. Confirmation that a Holstein cow in Washington state had the deadly disease came Thursday from the Veterinary Laboratories Agency in Weybridge, England. British researchers agreed with the reading of U.S. tests on the stricken cow. Those tests led U.S. officials to preliminarily conclude that the animal had the brain-wasting disease. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
A reporter for the NBC television station KTUU in Anchorage, Alaska, found her way into the national spotlight while taping a scene with a young reindeer named Blitzen at the Santa Claus house in North Pole. Just as the Santa hat-clad Megan Stapleton knelt down with the reindeer's leash in hand, a spooked Blitzen leaped at the reporter, knocking her down in a manner one witness described as a tackle. Stapleton was not injured and even managed to hold on to the leash to keep Blitzen from running away, though he did drag her a couple of feet. I thought the last thing I wanted to do was let Blitzen get away, especially 2 days before Christmas, Stapleton said. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
At last, the golden age of television is upon us. But alas, this is not the golden age of TV quality, but literally the age of TV gold, when advertisers have become the programming. Leading the way is Disney's ABC television network, which has now opened its expanse of our public airwaves to complete domination by sponsors. I don't mean just the ads that sponsors run on its shows, or even the not-so-subtle placement of sponsors' products in the shows, but rather sponsors that become the featured character of the show. Sears has stepped out as the first of ABC's new advertising stars, putting itself forward as the centerpiece of the network's latest reality show called Extreme Makeover: Home Edition. Not that Sears has any actual dramatic talent, but it does have more than $1 million that it paid to ABC to write the corporation into the script of this 6-part series portraying stories of home renovation. The actual actors will be using Sears tools in their work, adding Sears appliances to the renovated homes and decorating with Sears furniture. If that's too subtle for viewers, there'll also be Sears trucks delivering merchandise. Branded workers from Sears Home Improvement Centers will occasionally arrive on the scene, and the show's cast will make trips to Sears for supplies. The commercially crass rationale for this all-Sears show is that advertisers need a way to outfox you TV viewers who are using your clickers to zap past those annoying commercial breaks. So forget the ads. The sponsors will be the shows. To fabricate this great leap forward, ABC even has a senior vice president for integrated marketing and promotion. He assures us that while, quote, Sears plays a role in the personality of the show, ABC would never take it to the point where it would seem like a bunch of logos slapped in a show. This Jim Hightower saying, see, there still are a few artistic standards in television.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
Might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Special guest host, Tony Trupiano.
And welcome one and all. Tony Trupiano with you indeed. 7 minutes after the hour, in the last hour of this Friday Malloy program. We're going to be open lines the rest of the day, so feel free to join us either by email or phone. The phone number, 1-800-825-5937. or the email tony@thetonyshow.com. Mark Connors has agreed to stay with me this hour.
Pleasure
to
have you.
I'm back. I want to thank Kevin Moore. Mark, you have to admit that.
What a dynamic person.
Yeah, and the message is clear. Let me read an email because, and be patient with it. It's a long one, but it's worth reading, especially the end.
Absolutely.
All right. Anthony writes, when was the last time anyone in the Bush administration mentioned race issues, except when they came out against affirmative action in the Supreme Court case? That was the U of M case, of course.
Right.
I'm afraid most Americans are willfully stupid, Anthony writes. How else could they endorse a disaster like the current administration? As for Dean, I think the Republicans are underestimating him just like they did with Bill Clinton in 92. Dean is smart and a gutsy guy, and he will not only weather whatever they throw at him, he will succeed as long as all non-Republicans band together to get rid of Bush. As for unions, Anthony writes, I'm afraid middle America is just stupid to what unions have done for this country. They need to do a radio blitz. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Look for the union label. Tony in Waukegan. Tony, thanks so much.
Tony's prophetic.
He is prophetic. Let's talk a little bit more about unions. I've got some other stuff I want to get to in this hour as well. And again, I want to encourage you to call as we end our week. And I'm, by the way, here Monday and Tuesday. Mark's going to be back with me on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
We're going to do a roundtable discussion. And let me give out the number first, and I'll quickly explain what that's going to be all about. The number again, 1-800-825-5937, and the email tony@thetonyshow.com. On Tuesday, we're going to kind of take a look at some of the major issues of 2003, and I've invited really a very esteemed panel of experts in their own fields.
And me.
And you. And Mark Connors.
The only unesteemed person, but I'll be glad to go.
The non-esteemed guy. The anti-esteemed.
That's right. No, I'm steamless.
Not at all. And we're just going to throw out some issues and dialogue about them. By the way, both the foreign press and the American press named the war in Iraq the number one story of 2003.
Surprise.
Certainly no surprise, of course. And that is a huge story. I was fortunate enough, not with this network, but I was fortunate enough to be on the air during that during the conflict, the war portion of the Iraq war. And I'm not big into that kind of reporting, if you will, that
right.
kind of journalism, because basically what you do is you stare at a television while you're on the air.
And you tell everyone what you're watching.
What they're
saying. You're reporting what somebody else is reporting.
When you're on the air, it's impossible to be a reporter because you are basically somebody's either talking in your ear or you're reading it online or you're watching it on TV like everybody else is. But I always feel a sense of connection to what's happening in the world when I'm on the air. It's frustrating when I've been not in radio, Mark, and something major happens to not be there on the air. So, going back to September 11th, fortunately,
right.
I was on the air then. 9 hours that day, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
Yeah, that was an amazing experience. Again, 1-800-825-5937, tony@thetonyshow.com. Very quickly, just back to Kevin Moore, and then we're going to get to our next call. I'm not a Gephardt guy, and I've told Kevin knows
right.
I'm not a Gephardt guy. I'm a Howard Dean guy, and I don't know where you stand.
I would be more of a Gephardt guy. I like his centrist stance. I think that he is infinitely electable because he stands more for the Americans. Dean isn't bad, but I don't know. I just like Gephardt because he seems to be a common sense, well grounded person.
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. The truth is, can a centrist beat a centrist? It can. You know, George Bush is really. Well, George Bush is George Bush, but he's presenting himself as being a centrist right now. Anyway, let's go to the phones, and we'll welcome John in Santa Fe to the Mike Malloy Show. John, a pleasure to have you with you. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, and nice to hear you. I'm glad that I don't know if you're on another show. I don't get it in my city.
No, not yet, but we're actually going to make an announcement tonight.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
More power to you.
Thank you, John.
I just want to say that in this conversation about Democratic candidates, I wish that at least until after the caucuses, Kucinich's name would be included as a worthy contender. It seems like he has become invisible through the media, and other people who are against the media and against Bush seem to also drop his name.
You know,
is this
John,
because you feel that he's not centrist enough, he's not popular enough? It seems like this man is outspoken. He doesn't have a Republican stripe of the thinnest width down his back like I feel a Dean has. And I think he is saying something very worthwhile, but is it possible that he's just too evolved for our country?
Yes. Yeah, that is very possible, John. He could be too evolved. He may be a futurist. He may be somebody whose message is ahead of its time. That is very true. Why does the media ignore him? That's a very good question. I don't think they take him seriously as a candidate, and I know that we've discussed this on the show before. I'm going to say it again. I do not believe this. Let me say that up front. I do not believe that Denis Kucinich is not electable. I believe he is as electable, John, as anybody else that's running.
Amen.
He doesn't have the machine behind him. He doesn't have the money behind him that other candidates do. And unfortunately, in politics, and I don't care what party we're talking about, and I don't care what candidate we're talking about, John Kerry, I don't know if you heard, has just taken out a $6 million second mortgage on his home so that he can throw more money at his campaign.
Yeah.
It takes huge money to be a viable candidate.
Or a grassroots revival.
Well, and so has not Howard Dean kind of combined those two? Didn't he start as a grassroots candidate and then all of a sudden find all this internet money?
If it comes down to him and Bush, I'll certainly vote for him. What I'm saying is that until Kucinich is eliminated, I wish his name would be included in the dialogue.
And I'll disagree with Tony. I don't think Kucinich is electable. I think that he tends to be, he is too far to the left. Because the United States, with 9/11, hearth, home, and family, and hearkening back to the good old days and the way things used to be, you're thinking of the Dennis the Menace days, and that is the American psyche right now. I'm involved in marketing with packaging and products. All the products and all the packaging that I've created lately have been from the things that are taken from the 1960 television shows, whether it's the Bewitched, little diamonds.
It's a whole nostalgia thing.
Exactly. And when you're looking at that, and when you're looking somebody who tends to be, if you want to call it futurist, or tends to be farther to the left,
progressive.
Americans have a hard time bringing that in because we're a wounded country. Like it or not, people feel that way. Whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, because if you look to what people are doing to sell products, it will tell you the American mood, because what moves off the store shelves is where Americans are living.
Well, it's certainly...
But here's my comment on that. Okay. If we're really living that way, then we're setting ourselves for a very costly recovery, because we are living a lifestyle that needs to change. And if we're not ready to change and we cater to that lack of readiness, we're just setting ourselves up.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
Well, I think as well, John, you know, again, part of the wonder of the primary season, especially when you are not the party in office, is that you have this palette of candidates that all bring something special to the table. And they all have, although a very similar message, very different messages. So the Denis Kucinich message may end up being part of the national platform.
Amen.
And that is one of the wonderful things about a primary season when you are not the sitting party, is all of a sudden a wealth, a cornucopia of ideas can come forward that one candidate in and of himself cannot bring. And so the Democratic Party is in a unique and blessed position to have this amazing menu of choices. Now, what they end up doing at the end of the day with regards to unity, once the primary season has made it clear who our nominee will be the deciding factor, John, in how well this election will then come off.
What do you feel about the Democratic Committee, the leadership?
The Democratic National Party?
Yes.
I think Terry McAuliffe needs to be replaced. I felt that for a long time. John, I don't know if you listened when I was on in the afternoons on this network, but I had Terry McAuliffe on this program.
I used to hear you, yeah.
And, you know, his answers were disappointing. He's done a horrible job nationally getting governors elected from the Democratic Party.
Do you think this weakens the Democratic Party?
Yes, ultimately it does. Yes, sure it does. I, you know, first of all, who is the leader of the Democratic Party right now? I'm talking which politician? It's Bill Clinton still.
I see.
I mean, the way that it works is that the leader of any given political party is the guy that last served as president.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, the leader of the Republican Party is George W. Bush. Then that would leave Bill Clinton as the leader of the Democratic Party.
You mean who he endorses finally?
Well, ultimately, Bill Clinton has done the smart thing, and he's going to endorse who the party takes out of the primary. Unlike Al Gore, who came out of the box for Howard Dean, and you have to ask yourself, why did he do that? And I'll tell you why I think he did it,
why?
John, because he was trying to show, it was a pissing match. He was trying to say, okay, Hillary and Bill, look what I can do.
Hmm. Doesn't that say something then about the fact that he wasn't even really qualified then to be a president in stature because he both bowed out in Florida and now, again, he doesn't do something strategically wise. I've heard good things about him on a personal level.
Well, and I think that there's some truth to what you just said. What he did in endorsing Howard Dean in and of itself is fine. The problem was he owed one man a phone call, and that man was Joe Lieberman, and he didn't do that. All he had to do was call him and say, Joe, I love you like a brother, but I'm going to endorse Howard Dean because I think he's the right guy. And he didn't do that.
He didn't do that, yeah.
And that's wrong. That's just wrong.
Yeah. Which doesn't, you know, which says something then about, you know, how savvy he is. And maybe he wasn't the best candidate. And good that he isn't running now. It's just that I do feel that Kucinich contributes a stimulus. He's outspoken. He's saying things. And others are slowly then, like you say, incorporating some of his ideas, and he will have an influence. And I certainly wouldn't want it to be, you know, I changed my vote at the last second to vote for Gore instead of Nader because the way it was looking. And I wouldn't want it to be that way again where Kucinich is just another.
Well, that was the whole conversation, John, we were having about third-party candidates, and this is not the election to be voting your conscience. You need to vote for the future of America. John, thank you so much for calling again. The number 1-800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. I'm Tony Trupiano. Mark Hahn is with me. We'll come back after the break and dialogue more. Stay with us.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor? Right. It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kid. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Suzanne Cowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Velner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family, cheers. Have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And we're back. Tony Trupiano with you. Mark Hannes along for the ride. Mark, get off my back, please.
I don't know. I'm just sitting here doing the Cabbage Patch to the music.
And Char's in the control room going, okay, you guys can stop BSing now and do a show. I heard you. I saw you, baby. I saw you. Again, if you want to join us, 1-800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. We're going to go back to the phones. Mr. Hannes, welcome Jeff in Arizona. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Tony. Long time no see.
Jeff, how are you? Now, how did you happen to find me tonight?
Well, they have this thing that you redid called a website. It actually announced that you were going to be on the air, so I decided to use my little internet and Windows 2000 and listen in to your stimulating conversation radio, and here I am.
Well, God bless you. Let me just introduce the world to Jeff. Jeff is a longtime listener, God bless him, to my radio show. I did overnights for a very long time, and Jeff was one of the blessings in my life, and he was there for us in the middle of the night all the time. And he's become a good friend, and we share a lot of stories back and forth, and we always, you know, here, I haven't been on the air where you've heard me regularly for, what, 2-3 years now?
Yeah.
And yet we stay in touch all the time. I mean.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It's nice to hear you back on the air, even though it's on the internet, but, you know, it's just one of those things, and as usual, you're still right in the thick of things politically, and Mark is seems like he's a well-qualified expert on marketing and especially his 60s stuff, going back to Leave It to Beaver.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, to tell you the truth, what I do is a radio show called Animal Talk. I'm a fish and reptile expert and happen to do design products for the pet industry. So, you know, I'm very well qualified. If your snake isn't shedding well, if you have
shedding,
ick,
he said shedding.
If your snake is if your fish has ick, or if your Oscar has hole in the head, I'm your man.
Okay. Well, the next time my Oscar has a hole in its head,
what can I do with my one-eyed dog?
I'd call him Lucky.
You would not believe it, and I think Tony could probably give you a story about that, but we call it Shug-a-Lugs because it needs a lot of hugs. But basically, it was attacked by Rockweiler.
Oh, that happens so often. You know, there's a lot of cities in the United States who are looking to ban certain breeds of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're now having the insurance agencies, insurance companies, are saying, oh, by the way, if you own a Rottweiler, a German Shepherd, or a Pitbull, we're not going to insure you. We have so many things in this country where our rights are being eroded. And people just blithely go on through their life. It doesn't matter what walk of life, whether it's your pets or whether it's the union movement or your political party. If you do not stay vigilant, they're going to take them, folks.
Absolutely. Mark, I got to tell you before we go to break here, one of the people that Jeff and I share that you know is Phil Paleologus.
Ah, my buddy Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark knows Phil well, Jeff.
Yeah, Phil and I have spent a lot of time together.
Well, Phil and I met out in San Diego last February.
Yeah, that time in prison Phil and I spent was really enjoyable. I'm just kidding. You know, we just started a national room. Phil Paleologus in jail.
Phil, a true gentleman in this industry.
Absolutely.
And sadly, he's done with the show when, Jeff?
Starting January.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
The show from the diner
yeah.
was great. I was
show.
Guest on a show of a lot of times. He was a lot of fun to be on a show.
Good man. Well, Jeff, I want to thank you for calling. You know I love you, pal.
Well, I love you, too. And once again, happy holidays. And it's good to be back on the air with Tony and Mark. God bless you and keep up the good work.
All right.
Thanks, Jeff.
And he's in Mesa, Arizona, by the way. Just an amazing guy. I mean, I've through the years, Jeff has followed my career. And he's,
you know, we all need a stalker, and Jeff is a good one.
Jeff is a good stalker. He is just one of those really gifted people that, God bless him, cares about what I do. I'm blessed to have Jeff in my life. I mean, he's really been a great, great supporter of what I do.
You know, there are certain people in all of our lives that touch us and make such a difference. And you know what? I'd like to throw out something. If you have a story about somebody who's touched your life, as we're coming towards the end of the year, share us a story about somebody who touched your life and made a difference.
As long as it wasn't Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
we're going to take a break, but I've got an email here that says Gore did call Lieberman. We'll find
what did
out.
He call it? No,
well,
just
we'll find
kidding.
Out. Mark Connors is with me. I'm Tony Trupiano, 800-825-5937. Tony@thetonyshow.com. We'll be right back.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George the W to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The environment isn't all bad news. A new book finds plenty to cheer about. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. If you're looking for an environmental hero, consider the Collins Pine Company. David Suzuki profiles the timber operation in his new book, Good News for a Change, How Everyday People Are Helping the Planet.
Here is a family-owned company that has been in operation now for 150 years. They do $250 million worth of business a year, so this is not a small logging company. This is a major corporation. And if you go through their forests, you don't see clear cuts anywhere. And their forests, which have been logged for 150 years, are considered among the best examples of what an old growth forest should be. So you walk through their forest, you have no idea that there's a logging operation going on.
Collins Pine has 7,500 employees and operates in Pennsylvania, Oregon, and Northern California. Suzuki says the company is a good citizen any way you look at it.
They feel that they've got to return benefits of their operation to the community. So they take a considerable amount of their revenue to set up scholarships, to support community events and activities.
Suzuki and co-author Holly Dressel found other companies doing good things, including some that might surprise you. There's William Clayton Ford, head of the Ford Motor Company, who says the auto industry must cut the environmental impact of its products. Ford has promised to convert the company's SUVs to energy. energy-efficient hybrid engines. Suzuki says even Nike, long considered a bad actor for its use of sweatshop labor, has responded to criticism. Suzuki says it's not all bad news out there, and he wants to credit those companies that are trying to do better. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
Don't let him touch anything on the console, bro. Jesus. Welcome back. I am in for Mike Malloy. Can hardly wait to go to his little website where people say nasty things about me.
Well, Tony, we understand that. I mean, you come in and you give a...
I am the anti-Malloy.
Well, especially Mike is strongly opinionated, to put it that way. And we sure do appreciate letting Mike let us come and sit in and wreck his audience.
Oh, you know? Absolutely.
He's a prince to allow...
The last time I did his show, somebody actually posted on a little forum that he has... did Mike actually choose this guy? The answer to that question, by the way, is no, he did not. He did not, absolutely. As I was saying before the break, somebody sent an email that says it was reported in the Washington Post and on CNN that Gore did call Lieberman, and he left a message but did not receive a call back from Lieberman. Why did Lieberman not return the call, Mark writes? I don't know, but I do know that Joe Lieberman has spent the last 18 months or so distancing himself from the campaign of 2000 that he was a part of. So... there's been an estrangement in this relationship, and we've seen on both sides, and it kind of came out full-blown this week. Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that that is indeed true. I did see Mr. Hannes, Joe Lieberman, the next day on the Today Show with Katie Couric, and he basically said, no, he didn't call me. Yeah, I felt that there should be a call. And don't appreciate that I didn't get one. So I don't know if, I don't know what the truth is.
Well, and Joe Lieberman has not been a factor so far, so.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to go back to the phones in just a minute. Mark actually just sent me an addendum to his email. Apparently, Lieberman's daughter did an interview with Paula Zahn on CNN, and just very briefly it says, Paula Zahn asked, so many people caught off guard by this endorsement. I just want to come back to have you clarify something for us today. CNN is confirming, in fact, that Al Gore had called your father this morning, and if the call was not returned in the advance of his public announcement, can you confirm that independently? And his daughter responded, actually, I can't. I spoke to my dad briefly today. We spoke about a party that I threw for him last night. He was very pleased with that. And then he had to take off on an airplane, so we couldn't speak any longer. Okay. Who knows? Who knows? We're going to go back to the phones again. 1-800-825-5937. The email, tony@thetonyshow.com. We go to Kirk in Southern Oregon, and welcome into the show. Kirk, happy holidays to you, and how are you this evening?
Just dandy fine. How about yourself?
Doing well, thank you. What's on your mind?
I was wondering how candid an answer you can give as to why you're not on the air currently. I think I have my own guesses, but I was wondering how candid you can be as to what may have happened.
Well...
Tony never actually had a show on IE. Tony has been I guess you'd call it a fill-in guest, a fill-in show host at
this
point.
Well, through the summer, Mark or Kirk, as you probably know, I had the lion's share of a program called the Radio Free Speech Zone. The intention was never to give me that slot, and I knew that from the beginning. It was a financial decision. I don't know. Char, just look at me real quick. Has it been public yet what's going on? Okay, this
yes.
network is actually going out of business, Kirk.
I've already heard that.
Okay, so beginning February...
Very unfortunate.
Well, beginning February 2nd, Mark Connors and I and a few others are starting our own network, and I will be back on the air full-time beginning February. It may be March, but it's looking like it's going to be February 2nd.
And also, all the shows that are on IE are not going away. You're just looking at the vehicle, the entity that is IE. Things are changing, but the shows are going to continue to exist, whether it's Animal Talk or the Tom Hartman Show. Radio is a funny business, folks. When you're on the inside of it, you think you understand it. You don't. When you're from the outside of it, I guarantee you don't understand it, because none of us do. So Tony is a radio veteran, and you're going to see some fun and interesting things coming down the pike over the next few months.
Is any of this going to be carried on Sirius Radio?
You know, we're gonna start investigating that. There's so much we can't tell you yet, but
yes.
We've had some very positive endorsements of what we're doing. We've had some positive movement in the last week, and we're very optimistic that what we are building from the get-go will be bigger than IE is now.
Excellent. Glad to hear it.
Well, don't worry, Captain Kirk, but phasers on full. And get those warp. So I'm sorry, I'm a Star Trek fan. I can't help it. I have all the Star Trek ships up in my office, so I'm a real geek. I can't help it.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
So your disappearance had nothing to do with the expose of the World War II, let's say, connection?
Well, I'll tell you that I've taken a great deal of criticism for that, and I did have some uncomfortable moments in my life, but I've enjoyed them very much, Kirk. If they think they can get me to stand down, you're going to have to bring a whole lot more than they brought. Trust me on this one.
Well, you still need a mic, though. Okay, I have other questions. I'll leave it at that for now. I'll tell you what I wanted to know about.
Okay, well, I appreciate you taking the time to call. Thank you so much, Kirk. You know, it's nice. And I got to tell you that I hear from a lot of the people that have listened to this network that like me. God bless them. And, hey, Mark, what we're working on together, and as we can give people more information,
we certainly will.
I don't know that I'm going to have a chance again before this network goes away. There's certainly lots of good things that have happened here. Tom Hartman, Mike Malloy, certainly among those.
Absolutely.
Peter Werby, another great guy. Certainly the success that Animal Talk has had on this network.
Most definitely. And you have Antique Talk, and you have... Bobby Likas with the car. There is just some great, great programming on here. And it's just, you have situations where you have different ownership issues and people ready to move on and do other things. It's really not a negative. It's a changing of the guard, so to speak.
Yeah.
And more the way to look at it. It's actually a very proactive and positive move by the owners of the IE. They're being very, very gracious to all the employees and to all the show hosts. And to all the shows, I mean, this has been a really, truly a stand-up group of people, and I'm so proud to be a part of them. I'm disappointed things are going the way they are, but...
They're being gracious to people? I had to cut my fee in half to do this show for the next 3 days. Man, did I get screwed in the process. What the hell's going on here?
Well, you're being more gracious than others, Tony. How's that?
Okay, no, I'm fine with everything. Listen, the reality is... That and anybody that listened to the program throughout the summer and fall, and I was actually shocked that I was on that long. It was only supposed to be 2 weeks. It ended up being almost 6 months. We built something in that time, and that really gave me the confidence when you and I initially talked a couple weeks ago to say, you know what, yeah, I can do this progressive radio and throw in some twists here and there. Because I don't think people need all politics all the time.
No, it's all about life, because people don't live their life in separate little bites. It's a whole, whether you're dealing with your pets or whether you're dealing with politics or you're dealing with fixing the car or whether you're dealing with the fact that you have a leaky basement. These are all part of one and the same. It's called our lives, and we're going to try to address them as a unified whole.
Well, let me just tell people now that if you want to be updated on what's happening, and it's happening very quickly, send me an email, and I will let you know what's going to happen. And just simply tony@thetonyshow.com. And then as we have announcements to make, we'll be sure. And I'll have the radio website back up within a couple of weeks, and we'll keep everybody updated there as well.
It's going to be a ball, folks.
It is going to be a ball. Again, if you'd like to join us, 1-800-825-5937 or tony@thetonyshow.com is the email. If something's on your mind, feel free to give us a call. You know, we're quickly coming to the end of the year, and I don't know about for you, but this year has been a real blessing for me. I've had a great year. I mean, professionally, I've had a great year. Personally, I've had a great year. My son just gave me a grandchild about 5-6 weeks ago.
Can't ask for better than that.
The holidays were great. You know, it's been a great year.
Yeah, to me, it's been a mixed year. Some struggles, but blessings came out of the struggles. So I guess all in all, I'd have to say it was a great year.
No, that's, I mean, you know, well, yeah. I
mean, as my grandmother says, every day above ground is a good one.
Yeah. So I would agree with that. I would agree with that. It just seems to me that... It just seems to me that people need to wake up to some realities. And we were talking about this a little earlier, but I want to really stress that we are no longer a year away from an election. We are weeks away from a primary.
And that's when it starts, folks.
Yeah. Well, it started.
Yeah.
Okay, but we are a week away from a primary. When are you going to start taking this stuff seriously? One of my concerns with this audience has always been that we're preaching to the choir.
Right.
And as you often say, they already know how to sing.
Right.
Are they sharing with their circle of people? Again, when I was doing the show in the afternoon, I had a lot of people that would write me and say, hey, Tony, I try to talk to other people about progressive issues. They won't listen to me. I even let some jackass on the show one day from Indiana just ramble on and on and on. Do you remember that, Char, that conservative little piece of crap? And he, you know, just made an ass out of himself. And people were writing me and screaming at me in their emails. Why are you even letting this guy have 10 seconds of air? You know, because we need to see how ignorant conservatives are. And they are very ignorant. They are very closed-minded.
And I think that what ends up happening is that there's a brainwashing situation going on that they're people. You got to be a thinking individual. You cannot fall lockstep behind anyone, because when you do, they're going to lead you down the primrose path and you'll turn around and go, hey, I didn't think that was going to happen. Well, and it definitely will. There's a lot of parallels in history of people who've just followed the leader.
I often beg people to disagree with me. I absolutely have no problem with people to disagree with me. I kind of want to make a point out of an email we got quite a bit earlier that illustrates my point. It amazes me, and I've done literally 15,000 interviews in my career. I can say something is black, and people will call me and say, why are you putting down black people? Okay? Didn't
yeah.
say that. All right, now this is just kind of a minor example of that, Mark, but earlier I said that people were choosing the military as a career option because it's all they had. That's what I said.
Right, because young people do not have the options they had 20 years ago.
Somebody that I have a lot of respect for sends me an email that says, the military is not a great career option. Why did you say that? I didn't say that. Okay, I didn't say that. I invite criticism into what I do. I learn from that criticism as long as it's done constructively. I don't like hatred. I don't like name calling. When somebody sends me an email and says you're stupid or you're ignorant, you know, you're blind to the facts because you're ugly, whatever.
Whenever I get those, I tell my ex-wife, quit emailing me.
Fair enough. But the reality is that we learn from disagreeing. There's a great deal to be learned in the process of disagreeing. One of the first people that I had as a guest on this network when I started this summer was Phyllis Schlafly, who is an absolute conservative bozo. And people went nuts that I had her on the show. And it was reported that I was agreeing with her.
No All kidding.
Right. Well, that's fine. But there is a segment of the populace of this network that listen to this network that don't want to hear a conservative voice because they feel that they have so many opportunities elsewhere. Why should we give them the option? And I honor that. The reality is when I've got a conservative on the show, it normally makes me look pretty good. But that's not why I do it. I do it because it's part of the education process. Inciting that kind of anger in somebody, in my opinion anyway, Mark, raises the level of expectations for them as well. One of my best friends in the world, a guy that I have more respect for than almost anybody, is a staunch Republican, an advisor to this president. And I love him and honor him and have had him on the show many, many times. This audience hates him with a passion. I will never listen to the show again. I will never listen to you again. What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that he's telling the truth? Or are you afraid that, you know what? All right, so a conservative got a little bit of a voice. Take the information he's given you and use it to refute somebody else.
Sure. Yeah.
But I don't understand the culture of paranoia. Bless you, Char. I don't understand the culture of paranoia. And we can be a progressive network. We can have a progressive voice, yet live with conservatives. Because that's the reality of our lives.
Well, and also, too, is that there may be more common ground with somebody who calls themselves a conservative than you know. I don't even know what to label myself. I'm a progressive, conservative, moderate type person. I'm all of those things. It depends partly on the issue. It depends partly on what the goal is of any given bill, any law, a candidate. The thing is that there is no living person who's a monolith of one single reality. And I think that I have come away listening to some people who are extremely far to the left who I can't understand, but I come away with something very good. Or so far to the right, the Genghis Khan is looking at him from behind.
Right. I find it hard to – is there a person – a politician, a entertainer, a educator, whatever, in my life that I agree with everything they say? No. I look at my own life and the way I've evolved and the education that I've received, whether it's through guests on the show or my formal education. I have changed. My views have changed.
Oh, I've changed radically as well.
You have changed. You have done, like, you're like the coming out of the cocoon.
Oh, I was a... I voted for George W. Bush.
Yeah, and you actually admit that?
I admit it publicly because God, I had a different perception of what I was doing, and I have had an epiphany on things. So,
all right.
Talk about some changes.
Okay, Kathy and Blair, thank you for your emails. I'll definitely let you know when the new network's up and running. In the meantime, we'll take one last break here, get some business out of the way. Mark Hannes and I will wrap things up on the other side. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply Cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing Simply Cough.
Simply Cough. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the time is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Dan Cowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family, cheers. Have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
We're back. It's the Mike Malloy Show with special guest host Tony Trupiano. Give Tony a call at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Tony.
And welcome back. As we get ready to wrap up today, Mark Connison with me. I'm Tony Trupiano. I'll be back Monday, Tuesday night. Great show Tuesday. We'll have a great show Monday as well. I want to make sure, Mark, before we get out of here, that I say hello to my friend Shelby at radiopower.org.
Hello, Shelby.
If folks, you haven't had a chance and you need one more write-off for the year, support radiopower.org, $10, $20, $30, whatever you've got. Just go to radiopower.org. There's a link there that you can do it. They provide an amazingly important service. I honor the work that they do. Shelby happens to be a very intelligent, clear-thinking person who has a message that she wants to get out, and it's a message that we all endorse. And so I want to thank Shelby for her friendship and her direction, and more importantly, her vision for putting together RadioPower.org. And go there and support them in whatever way you can. I just wanted
Absolutely.
To say that real quickly. What'd you get for Christmas?
I got a Star Trek 1701A, which is the one I didn't have in my collection. I also got a little powered refrigerator that holds 8 Diet Pepsis I can put in my office. And I got some, actually, 1976 vintage Spock ears. I'm a Star Trek collector. I have all of that different kind of stuff. And okay, fine. Yeah, I'm a geek and a nerd.
But see, I've got Char behind
me. She's shaking her head.
Actually, she's having trouble catching her breath, but she's laughing so hard.
Believe it or not, some of the ships that I have now, you go on eBay, they're selling for $1,500.
Well, isn't that nice to know?
And I got them as toys. I bought them at Toys R Us because I thought they were cool, and now I'm a collector.
I have a friend who is the one of the meteorologists at KUSA in Denver. He's also their entertainment editor, and he has a Lost in Space model ship.
Oh, yeah.
It's worth like a gazillion dollars.
Oh, and I have some different things like that. I have a phaser from the early 1970s and, you know, all those kind of cool things.
Okay. I have like vintage porn. I've got like old penthouses.
It's Kirk Desogorn, huh? So
no, actually, you know.
Just never mind.
Real vintage porn. That's all I have. I have a big rubber band ball at home that I collect rubber bands. Yeah. I'm going to leave it at that, Mark. And, thank you. Have a great weekend.
You
enjoy
too,
the show this weekend. Listen to Mark Hannes on many of these IE stations. Actually, most of these
That's
IE
right.
He has most of these IE stations. Char, is always a pleasure. I will be back on Monday. Again, Tony at thetonyshow.com. Been a pleasure. Mike, enjoy your time off. We'll be back. This has been the IE America Radio Network.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
But we're never gonna survive.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight.